A single name can tell you a lot about someone's status. In golf, there's Tiger. In television, Oprah. And in the world of books, Michi. That's Michiko Kakutani, the revered and feared book critic of the New York Times. She's famous for her withering reviews of some of the biggest names in literature. In recent months, she's panned novels by Toni Morrison and Don DeLillo. She slammed the highly anticipated second books of young hotshots like Dave Eggers and Donna Tartt. Publishers even have a name for these harsh reviews. They call it getting Kakutani'd. Steve Paulson has this report.
Every author craves a good review in the New York Times, especially one written by Pulitzer Prize-winning critic Michiko Kakutani. Her vivid writing and strong opinions have made her arguably the most influential book critic in America.
In the life of a New Yorker, there are several unpleasant things one will
encounter. Kakutani's even become something of a cultural icon. On a recent episode of Sex in the City, Carrie Bradshaw, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, panics at the thought of Kakutani reviewing her new book.
Oh my God, right, your book's reviewed this week. You must be so excited.
More like terrified. Michiko Kakutani. She's the Times book critic.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting an appetizer.
She's brilliant and she's really tough.
And impossible to pronounce.
Well, some people in the book world simply call her Michi, and they too can get pretty anxious about an upcoming Kakutani review. Even a veteran novelist like Nicholson Baker.
You know, there's such a pleasure in the writing of the book. It's an intoxicating period of time, and you think, I'm finishing, it's almost done. And then there's this period later on when you think, Michiko's review is coming up.
As it turned out, Baker had good reason to worry. His most recent novel, A Box of Matches, got Kakutani'd. She described the narration as full of ludicrously microscopic examinations, spelled out in absurd and numbing detail.
You know, it was really a negative, horrible review. I mean, it was like having my liver taken out without anesthesia.
How do you respond to a review like that?
I think she should be fired immediately. No, I think, well, bless her heart, she has reviewed 7 of my books, and I think she may have liked 2.5 of them. You know, and she always gives me a bad review, and it's so she just doesn't like my kind of writing.
Not even a sterling literary reputation can spare a writer from Kakutani. Take Margaret Atwood, First Lady of Canadian Letters and the author of more than 30 books. Kakutani panned her futuristic novel Oryx and Crake, calling it a lumpy hodgepodge of a book that's didactic and thoroughly unpersuasive. Atwood shrugs it off.
What can I say? I mean, critics are critics. They're individuals. They have their own views. She does have a reputation in the literary world for praising you one time and then nuking you the next, just so you don't get complacent.
And Kakutani isn't shy about slamming literary icons. Reviewing John Updike's novel, Seek My Face, she said it's impossible for the reader to find a single believable character. Updike, for his part, says he doesn't expect much from professional critics who review lots of books.
Like Michiko Kakutani, who, you know, handles so many that there's a kind of a secret hatred of all books that runs through. So many people get harsh reviews, dismissive reviews from her that I think are kind of collectively hardened.
But Susan Sontag certainly felt the sting when her latest book was panned.
It was a dumb bad review as opposed to a smart bad review, and I was sort of surprised. I expected better of her.
The book in question is Sontag's extended essay regarding the pain of others, her first major work of nonfiction in years. Kakutani was unimpressed by Sontag's reputation as one of America's leading intellectuals. In fact, she called the book full of belated and common-sense statements of the obvious. The review makes Sontag bristle.
I think that her criticisms of my books are stupid and shallow and not to the point.
I've met Susan Sontag, and I think she's smarter than her own comments would betray. I just think she was angry and hurt.
Stephen Erlanger is the culture editor of the New York Times. He's Kakutani's boss and a big fan of her work.
I think Michi's the best daily newspaper book critic in the United States. She has high standards. She has points of view. I mean, I think critics should not waste people's time if they don't have anything to say.
Of course, Kakutani's ruthlessness is one reason she's fun to read. With her, you don't find the bland, mealy-mouthed reviews that are so common elsewhere. If she doesn't like a book, she rips it apart. And if she does like it, it can send a writer over the moon. Mary Carr was an obscure poet when she published The Liar's Club. Kakatani called it one of the most dazzling and moving memoirs in years.
It was like having the good fairy, you know, touch you on the shoulder with her wand.
What do you remember about that review?
That it was astonishing that I was a poet, etc. Just mostly about what a genius I was. So, yeah, she's my best friend.
Michael Janeway was a Pulitzer juror when Kakatani won the prize for criticism in 1998. He runs the arts journalism program at Columbia University.
I think she's extraordinary. You can start reading a piece of hers without looking at the byline, and her voice is so strong, and her sense of what a book is about, what the author is about, is so clear that I can just say to myself, well, that's obviously a Kakatani review, as distinct from one of the other regular Times Daily Book reviewers.
Janeway admires Kakatani's critical range, her ability to weigh in on serious literature, history, and current politics. She also reviews books within the arc of an entire career, how the new book stacks up alongside the author's earlier ones. And she does all this twice every week. For all her influence in the book world, Kakatani doesn't hobnob with writers or hang out on the literary circuit. Even veterans of the publishing industry say they've rarely seen her. One longtime book publicist joked, "We know more about J.D. Salinger." Kakatani declined to be interviewed for this story. Michael Janeway says Kakatani's elusiveness adds to her mystique.
There's this sort of amusing tradition in American letters of the dark lady of letters, the mysterious, powerfully voiced personality. Mary McCarthy was the first one to be dubbed this, and then Susan Sontag subsequently. But they were both very public personalities in many respects.
By contrast, you'll find Kakatani's powerful voice in her reviews. But can she actually make or break a book? Some writers are convinced a bad review will kill a book. On the other hand, Mary Carr's memoir ended up on the bestseller list for over a year. Did the Kakatani rave make that happen? Perhaps. But Paul Bogards, executive director of publicity for the publisher Alfred A. Knopf, doubts that any single review has that power.
No one, with the exception of Oprah, has the ability to advance a book single-handedly to a mainstream audience. But there remain a coterie of readers, readers who might be described as the high-minded literary, earnest academics, and the media elite who view her as destination programming.
It may be more accurate to describe Kakatani as a literary tastemaker, a critic who sets the tone for how other people respond to a book. Her penchant for stirring up controversy certainly gives her reviews an extra bite, and it's one reason lots of people pick up the paper in the morning. They want to know, what did Michiko Kakutani say?
That report came from Steve Paulson.